Dr. B. Born.
Yay! Okay, good morning. So how are you guys doing? Good, very good. Okay, so to start off, as you all may or may not know, we're going to talk about a SWOT analysis. And some of you may know what that is. Some of you may think you know what it is. Some of you may have no idea. So that's what we're going to spend the next hour or so talking about. And then I'll have opportunities as we go for you all to ask questions. And then I really don't like to be just a talking head, so I'll be asking you questions. And that means that you need to answer and not just stare back at me, because then I'm just going to wait, and I'm a patient person. So, but before we start with that, I want to start off with a devotion. So I thought about what I'd like to share with you, and I thought about, you know, my role as a leader, my role as a business person, and then making that connection with where I am now. So every time I read Hebrew, the 12th chapter, particularly the first two verses, I get excited about my role as a leader. Why? And there are two reasons. First, there is a cloud of witnesses that have preceded us. Hebrew 11 tells the stories of heroes in the faith, incredible servants whom God called to lead his people. I am reminded that no matter what challenges I face, and sometimes you think you're the only person going through what you're going through, I am aware that there are role models for me to follow. Nearly every great leader will speak of a hero or a role model that has helped to shape who they are. And hopefully you have those mentors and role models in your own life. And hopefully they're not athletes or those people on TV that we, you know, think are, you know, so wonderful, and then we see them fall from grace. So the second reason is that these verses encourage my leadership walk is that we're reminded that there is a race marked out before us. Nothing that we will experience, whether success or hardship, will surprise God. No part of our lives is outside of his design for the advancement of his kingdom. Therefore, we can be assured that where we are leading, others have gone before. And for me, that gives me some comfort knowing that I'm not the only one who's faced what I face. So after all, if the race is marked out already, that means someone had to go ahead of us and create the race course. Every bump, every twist and turn is part of a larger plan, and we have been equipped to take on each new challenge in a way that honors the one for whom we run. And I always say, and you probably have heard your parents and others say, that things happen for a reason, and I believe that they prepare us for something that we need later in life. So our question is, a rhetorical question for you that I don't expect you to answer is, are you running the race yet, or are you hesitant to yield your personal vision to God and thus you're off course somewhere? If so, it is never too late to get back on track. Verse 2 of this passage says simply to fix our eyes on Jesus and you will not be discouraged. What have you learned about God? What have you learned about how God has prepared you to run the race in such a way as to get the prize? And that comes from 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 24th verse. So there's an inspirational piece that I find inspirational for myself that I also want to share with you. I don't know if any of you have read the book, A Purpose-Driven Life. Have any of you read that? Okay. All right. But at any rate, there is a piece in that book. It was written by Rick Warren, and it is, "You are who you are for a reason." And I like that, and I thought I would share that with you. You are who you are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. You are a precious and perfect, unique design called God's special woman or man. You look like you look for a reason. Our God made no mistake. He knit you together within the womb. You're just what he wanted to make. The parents you had were the ones he chose. And no matter how you feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind. And they bear the master seal. Know that trauma you faced was not easy. And God wept that it hurt you so. But it was allowed to shape your heart so that into his likeness you grow. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by the master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God. And I thought that would be a good way to kind of launch what we're talking about. So when we talk about a SWOT analysis, we're talking about your own personal strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And those may not have anything to do with the person's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats that's sitting next to you. Okay, but let us pray, and it'll be a little quick prayer because I can get carried away and then we won't have time for anything else. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity for us to be together, to fellowship, and for me to have an opportunity to meet these wonderful students here at Dallas Christian College. We want to thank you for giving us the health and the strength to be here today. We know that many people who started out on a journey were not able to reach their desired destination, but you were with us and you allowed us to be here. And we want to be ever mindful that we have been blessed and that we don't take that for granted. And that when we achieve those things that you'd have us to achieve, that we are mindful that it is to you that we owe the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we ask that you'll be with us for the remainder of this presentation, that you'll give us the health and the strength and the understanding to learn those lessons that you would have us to learn, and that when we're finished here today, that you will be with us the remainder of the day. We ask all of these blessings in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Okay. All right. So, and you're thinking, who is this woman? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about who I am. So on the slide, I thought it might be helpful. You know, I'll be here for a while until, you know, it's time for me not to be here. So you'll see me around. You may have a class with me. I teach a variety of business and management classes. I have an undergraduate in marketing. My master's is in HR. I have a master's in marketing. My doctorate is in management and organizational leadership. So I graduated with my doctorate from the University of Phoenix. So there's a little picture of me with my graduation regalia. I graduated from there in 2009. I attended Maryville University for my undergraduate degree in St. Louis, and Webster University with my master's degree, so I've got their little logos. I work here at Dallas Christian, so I've got their logo. I'm a member of St. John Baptist Church, so I've got a little logo of their volunteer program. I have been on the board of directors for Girl Scouts for many years, so therefore the Girl Scouts. I have done independent consulting, so I have my own little logo near the right. And then you see various pictures with me, with my family, my grandchildren, my children, some friends, some relatives. Before coming here, I lived in St. Louis, so you see a state flag of Missouri. I lived in Texas now, of course, and I'm from South Carolina, so that's the little palmetto with the little moon, so that's a symbol of the state flag of South Carolina. So that gives you an idea in a nutshell of who I am, because we're whole people. We're more than just who you see right here, and we've had journeys to get us to this point. Okay, so as an overview, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what a SWOT analysis is in the first place. We're going to give you an opportunity to develop your own SWOT analysis. And then we're going to wrap it up with an opportunity for you to reflect. Because a part of learning is for you to really start thinking about things. Okay, I spent an hour in this. What is this thing really about? And how might I be able to use this? Why did they have me here for this whole hour when I could have been sleeping or doing whatever it is that I would prefer to do? Okay. And then, of course, you'll have an opportunity for questions. And you don't have to wait until the end. I don't mind if you have a question, something doesn't make sense, or I'm going too fast, or you didn't understand. You know, feel free to ask. And, you know, you're not going to hurt my feelings. You know, it does me no good to just talk, and then you're looking at me like you don't understand what I'm talking about. So that's how we're going to spend our time. So what is a SWOT analysis? And when I ask a question, you know, it means you need to answer. So what is a SWOT analysis? Okay? All right, and I don't know it's a good answer, okay?
Strength and weaknesses, oppression.
Okay, opportunities. Okay, good. Yes. So strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So a SWOT analysis is a tool that businesses, organizations, or individuals can use to give them an idea of where they are, what hurdles they face, what they do well, and what they could do better. Okay? So companies need to take a deep look, not just companies, but organizations. It could be this college. It could be your church. It could be your band, your group, yourself. You need to take this deep look at yourself, you know, and be very brutally honest. You might not like what you find out, but that's what the purpose is, so that you know these things about yourself. Because knowledge is power, and if you don't know what your blind sides or your weaknesses are, then you're not going to be in a position to do anything different or to change, right? So a SWOT analysis can be very subjective. So in other words, and later on we're going to do a SWOT analysis of an organization that everybody should know about, and we'll kind of see what you guys come up with. But a SWOT analysis is very subjective. So what I believe my strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats are, someone else may not think the same thing, okay? Or what I believe are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats for maybe Dallas Christian College, someone sitting next to me may not see it the same way. So it is subjective. So therefore, SWOT needs to be used as a guide and not as a prescription. So again, this is what a SWOT looks like. So it would take a look at what are the things that you do well, and the weakness would be what are the things that I perhaps don't do well, or it could be an organization, a company, okay? The opportunities would be conditions in the external environment that favor your strengths. And I'll give you some examples too. And then threats would be conditions in the external environment that don't relate to your strengths or that favor your weakness. Generally, the strengths and weaknesses are all internal within the organization, things that you have control over. External are things that are out there that you really don't have any control over. So let me give you an example. Let's say I am a company, and I'm going to talk about, I think we all, common sense could kind of tell us what strengths and weaknesses are, right? Okay. Opportunities and threats. There might be a new regulation that might pop up that would create an opportunity for a business. They had no play in that. They had nothing to do with it. It is a kiss me. It happened, and now they can leverage it. For example, with the new health care bills, there are companies that can spring up. Now they can offer health care consulting services or whatever. They didn't do anything to deserve that, right? It just happened, and they are now able to take advantage of that as an opportunity. Does that make sense? Or by the same token, a threat could be there could be some new government regulation that happens that means that now I'm threatened. I used to do this. Now they've got the new controls over something. I can't do what I used to do. Maybe they deregulated the airline industry. That makes sense. And now that's a threat to the company. They didn't do anything to cause that, right? When I worked for AT&T a long time ago, the government sued AT&T as being a monopoly, and they broke up the company. So that was a threat. And it used to be one big happy bell system, and I worked for the company. You could transfer any place in the United States, and that's what I did. And then because there wasn't enough competition, you know, and we were happy. We were the only game in town. If you wanted phone service, you had to come to us, and we had that attitude. If you don't like it, go someplace else. And we knew they couldn't go anyplace else. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but I'm trying to give you an example. So when the government came in and broke up the company, that was a threat, right? Let's say you make Oreo cookies, and we love Oreo cookies, dunk those bad boys in milk, and, you know, we love them, right? You unscrew the top, you eat out the middle. Now you people don't want trans fat. And I'm being facetious with the you people. But now you people don't want trans fat. You're saying trans fat clogs up the arteries. You all have heard that, right? So now the government regulation comes in and says, you people who make Oreo cookies or French fries or whatever, you've got to take the trans fat out. So that's a threat to the company, right? Because now we want the cookies to taste, smell, cost the same, right? But we don't want it with the trans fat. We want our McDonald's French fries to taste, look, smell, cost the same. But from a company perspective, now they've got to go out and perhaps find another supplier that can give them the oil that doesn't have trans fat. So you can see how these threats have nothing to do with what the company did, right? They're just doing their own thing, you know, operating, and then these things happen in the environment. You could be BlackBerry. You all remember BlackBerry back in the olden days? Everybody had a little BlackBerry. They called crackberries. Remember all of that? You could have been the maker of BlackBerry phones. Everybody had them. We were just rocking and rolling. Now all of a sudden technology changes. Apple comes up with touchscreen phones. Other companies follow suit with all these touchscreen smartphones. Now it's almost a joke to have a BlackBerry, right? Now that would be a threat to them, this new technology, right? Think about CD players, or you all know what a CD is, that round disc thing back in the olden days. You could have had a perfect distribution system. Everything was rocking and rolling. You were cool. Now all of a sudden someone comes up with MP3 technology. Now they make your technology obsolete. So that would be a threat. You didn't do anything to cause it. You had everything going along well. Now these threats are in the environment. So generally speaking, these opportunities or threats don't have anything to do with what you have done to cause it. It happens in the external environment. Okay. All right. So when we talk about a strength, it is an internal resource or capability that is helpful for us to achieve our goals. So in other words, a strength could be some special expertise the company has. When you think about a company like Southwest Airlines, what do you consider to be a strength of Southwest Airlines? Anybody? Low cost, is that what you said too? Yeah, they are low cost, right? And what else might be a strength of Southwest Airlines? Yes, excellent customer service. And there are many case studies on how wonderful Southwest Airlines is in delivering customer service. Last night, I taught principles of management, and I shared a video on servant leadership. Featuring Southwest Airlines, and Colleen Barrett, the CEO or former CEO of Southwest Airlines, you know, shared how they believe in empowering their employee, and they believe that the employee is always right, not the customer. And at first, you're like gasping, like, oh my goodness, where's this woman coming from? Everybody knows the customer is always right. But what she says is that if they side with employees, that empowers the employee to do right by the customer. So if the employee believes my company is going to back me, then it makes them believe I'm going to treat my customer well. And then she says that it starts by having the right employees in the right job in the first place. Because they're known as a very good place to work, then they can attract the best and the brightest applicants. So that's a strength for them, in that the people who are the best and the brightest want to work for Southwest Airlines, okay? So for every one job they post, they get thousands of applications because they're known as a good place to work. So that would be a strength. So a strength could also be some type of a new innovative product or service. It could be the location of a business. Sometimes places have just a wonderful location and you go there because the location is just right. It's right on the right side of the street and the right area, all of that. It could be quality processes. So a question for you to think about, but not yet give an answer. We're going to do this in a minute. what do you consider to be your own personal strengths? And we're going to put that in context, because if you just think, what are my personal strengths? You might think, okay, I'm a kind-hearted person, I'm a Christian, I get up early, I work out, or whatever. But what I want you to think about is, if you were applying for your ideal job, whatever that might look like, you want to be a pastor of a church, you want to be a manager in a business, you want to own your own business, you want to be a professional athlete, you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to, whatever that thing is. So if you think about it in that context, what would be your strengths? And you can see that would give you a different set of strengths than it would if you were saying, what are my strengths as a human being? Do you all see the difference? So think about that. So, and we'll come back to this in a moment. Then we get to weaknesses. So this would be a barrier to you achieving your goal, and a weakness might be that the company doesn't have marketing expertise, or if you want to be an ad agent executive, that's your ideal job, you don't have any experience. You want to be a professional athlete, but yet you don't know how to catch a ball, okay? You want to be a ballerina, but you've never had any ballet lessons, or whatever it might be. It could be the fact that you're not differentiated from your competition. And differentiation means that you're not different. That's a marketing term. So differentiation comes from the word different. So you need to be different from the competition. So in other words, all kinds of people are applying for this ideal job that you're thinking that you want. How are you different? What do you bring to the table? What does the company that you like to shop at bring to the table? Why do you like to shop at the Gap or Aeropostale, yes, or wherever it is, Forever 21 or the Express? You know, how are they different than the other stores, okay? A weakness could be... The location could be poor. Remember we talked about a location could be a good thing. A location could be a bad thing, too. It's too far. It's in the right area, but you've got to make a U-turn, and it's on the wrong side of the street. Have you all had those? Or it could be in a mall, but it's at the other end of the mall, and the parking isn't good, okay? Or it could be poor quality, or the company could have a bad reputation, or you could have a bad reputation. Okay, you put those things out on social media, and now you can't get them off. Companies take a look at that whenever they make hiring decisions. Okay, so think about, again, your own personal weaknesses. And then opportunity would be something that you could get a competitive advantage from. An example of that might be a developing market, such as the internet. Mergers, it could be a joint venture with another company. When companies merge, they gain potential opportunities. I know the company that my husband worked for was purchased by IBM. They were a small startup tech company, SoftLayer, and back in July of last year, they were bought by IBM. So there are a lot of opportunities for them in being owned by one of the largest companies in the world. And then another opportunity could be a new international market. Maybe you've got a good market share here, but now you can go international. It could be your competition went out of business. I know I used to live in an area where there was an auto repair place on one side, and another competitor came and built a place right on the other side of the street. One competitor went out of business. That represented an opportunity for the other place. And when the place built on the other side of the street, that represented a threat, right? Okay. And then, of course, so again, think about what your own personal opportunities might be. And again, if you're thinking about this ideal job, maybe you have a new idea. Maybe you're starting something brand new. Maybe you know about a new innovation. Maybe you have certain expertise that others don't have. So think of it in those terms. And then threats could be a new competitor in your market. It could be a price war with the competition. And those are never good things. It could be that the competition has some superior access to distribution. Okay, so again, think about your own threats that you face in obtaining your ideal job. Who else is applying for it, you know, that you might know of? You want to earn an internship, but you know that others who are better qualified. And then when you think of these things, your weaknesses, your threats, you also need to figure out, how can I mitigate that? And what does it mean when I say, how do I mitigate that? What does that mean? How do I mitigate that? What's that? Okay. Okay. Okay, very good. And somebody back here, the young man with the hat, did you have your hand up? I saw another hand. Oh. Okay. Okay. Okay, good. So if you want a job in a certain area and you don't have any experience and you see that as being a weakness, then you could perhaps, and you know, you go and apply for a job, and everybody wants someone with experience. So what you could do is volunteer in that area. So you don't have any leadership skills, so maybe you go and volunteer with the Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts or whatever it might be. You go and you do some volunteer work, and that's a way of gaining experience. You do an internship, and all of those things count as experience. That's just one example. Okay, so here are some simple rules for a SWOT. You need to be realistic about your strengths and weaknesses. So in other words, you don't want to sugarcoat or lie to yourself, because it's not going to do you any good to sugarcoat where you are. So you want to be as brutally honest with yourself as you can. And it needs to be able to distinguish where you are or where the company is and where you want to be in the future. So where are we right now? Or where am I right now? And what is my future vision? Also, it needs to be specific, so you need to avoid gray areas. So it needs to be something concrete when you do this. It also needs to be looked at in relations to the competition. Am I better or worse than the competition? I don't mean better as a human being, because we're all created equal, but I mean in terms of experience, skill sets, exposure, those types of things. And of course, if it's a company, you want to take a look at, do they have better customer service, or their prices better? Are they in a better location? And then again, we talked about the fact that you need to be aware that a SWOT analysis is subjective. So why would a company, or why would you conduct a SWOT analysis? What's the purpose of this? What purpose or benefit could this possibly serve in performing a SWOT analysis? Okay? Okay, good. Excellent. Yes. Yeah, so you can take a look at where I am, because again, if I want to be a professional widget maker or whatever it might be, professional athlete, you know, pastor my own church, do this, do that, we don't just go from zero to where we want to be. Some people might, but most of us don't, right? It's a journey or a path, and you've got to take baby steps. Most of us, some people, you know, get blessed and they don't have to go through that, but I wouldn't count on it. It doesn't happen that way for the most of us. We've got to go through the process. You got to get the degree. You need to do this. You need to do that. There are steps and processes in what you want to be or what you want to achieve. So you need to be aware of, where am I right now and what do I need to do to get there, and then to take steps in that direction. And I know you've heard the old saying, if you don't know where you're going, you might just end up anywhere, right? Okay. All right, so let's give this a try. Everybody's been to McDonald's. I'd be shocked if you have not, okay? So what I want to do is to play with this for a few minutes, and then we'll do a SWOT analysis for yourself. So let's see. Think about it for a moment, and let's think about, what are some strengths for McDonald's? Let's think about what their weaknesses are, what some opportunities might be, and what some threats might be. So everybody's been to McDonald's, right? Yes? Okay. Probably went there yesterday. Okay. And although I don't like to admit it, sometimes after I teach a class and I drive back home, it's one of the few things open that, you know, time at night. You know, I leave here at 10, you know, 9:30. By the time I get back home, it's, you know, well after 10, you know, bordering on 11. There aren't many places open. And I certainly don't want to sit down. Pardon? Okay. And I don't think there's one really close. There's a McDonald's just really right down the street from where I live, so. Okay, pardon? Oh, what did you say? Okay. All right, so let's take a look at what you all consider to be strengths of McDonald's, and you can just yell out your answers. Okay, fast, inexpensive, good for your soul. Wow. Okay, I don't know about that one. Okay, what did you say? Okay, they're very convenient. What? Okay, all over the place, very convenient. Did you say something? Oh, okay, they're known for their French fries. People like those. Okay, yeah, they do a lot of marketing. Okay. Okay, yeah, the Happy Meals with the toys. I know before my children could read or talk pretty much, they could demand that we go to the McDonald's because they saw those golden arches. Okay, all right, so some of the strengths, and again, these are ones because I did a little research, would be that Fortune magazine listed McDonald's as the best place to work for minorities. McDonald's invests more than $1 billion annually in training their staff, and every year more than 250,000 employees graduate from McDonald's training facility, Hamburger University. The business was ranked number one in Fortune magazine's 2008 list of most admired food service companies. They are one of the world's most recognizable logos, you know, with the golden arches. Their spokesperson, Ronald McDonald, the clown, is very well known, and we won't get into what they've been doing with Taco Bell lately, right? Have you all seen those campaigns? They're saying this is the real Ronald McDonald, you know, the people behind the costume, and they're, you know, saying that they go to Taco Bell. So, McDonald's is very community-oriented. They're a socially responsible company. They run the Ronald McDonald House facilities, which provides room and board and food and sibling support at a cost of only $10 a day for family with children needing extensive hospital care. They only serve name brand processed items such as Danone yogurt, Kraft cheese, Nestle's chocolate, Dasani water, Newman's own salad dressing, Heinz ketchup, and so on. Okay? All right, what about weaknesses of McDonald's? What do you all see as being weaknesses that they face? Say what? Fattening food. Somebody said quality. Low quality, okay. Pardon? I didn't hear it. Okay. All right, what else? Anything else? Okay, customer service could be improved, okay. And I guess what that shows is that they don't have consistent good customer service, right? If you get poor customer service over here and you like it over there, it means that that still is a weakness if it's not consistent, right? Unlike, let's say, when you go to Chick-fil-A, it's been my experience that the employees seem to like to work there. They have lower turnover. I seem to get the same high-quality service whenever I go to Chick-fil-A. Okay, all right, so some of the weaknesses of McDonald's, in addition to what you guys said, is that they test marketed a pizza and it failed to yield a substantial product, and that leaves them less able to compete with fast food pizza chains, and they wanted to be able to do that. They have a high employee turnover, and that leads them to have to spend more money on hiring and training. So employee turnover hits the bottom line meaning that it's expensive, and they have yet to capitalize on the trends towards organic foods. They have problems with fluctuations in their operating and net profits, which ultimately impact their relations with their investors. Okay, what about opportunities for McDonald's? Okay. Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. What else? Okay. They have strong financial backing. They're a big company, and a large company can do things that a small company cannot because they have the assets. Okay. What else? Okay, they can experiment like they tried with the pizza. It didn't work, but it didn't shut them down. Okay? All right, anything else? Okay, so they have growth potential and opportunities. Okay, good. Okay, so some of the opportunities is that in today's health-conscious societies, the introduction of a healthy hamburger is a good opportunity for them. They would be the first quick-service restaurant to have an FDA approval on marketing a low-fat, low-calorie hamburger with low-calorie combo alternatives. Currently, McDonald's, as well as their competition, health choices do not include hamburgers. You know, they've done things like grilled chicken and, you know, other things, but none of them have introduced a healthy hamburger. So that might be an opportunity. They have industrial Formica restaurant settings. They could provide more upscale restaurant settings like the one that they have in New York City on Broadway to appeal to more upscale target markets. They have an opportunity to provide allergen-free foods such as gluten-free and peanut-free, because more and more people have gluten issues. You know, we hadn't heard of gluten, you know, years ago, but it seems more and more people have issues with gluten. In 2008, the business directed efforts in the breakfast, chicken, beverage, and convenience categories. For example, they introduced those hot specialty coffees that also meant that they increased their they increased the number of visits with the customer. So in other words, if I'm going there now to get a hot beverage, that means that they have opportunities to sell me other things when I'm there. So they saw benefits of venturing into the beverage industry, you know, with the hot coffees, the mocha lattes, and all of that. Okay, what about threats? I was about to change this. Okay, what about threats? What do you see as threats for McDonald's? What about the chicken nuggets? Oh, okay, all right. And they did have some issues in China with the quality of their foods, and there was an article in the Wall Street Journal just recently about that, I think this week. Okay, what else would be threats? Taco Bell competition? Okay, all right, okay. Yes, 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 very good, okay. Okay, all right, very good. Let me give you some of the things I came up with. So the threats would be that they are benchmarked for creating cradle-to-grave marketing, meaning that they entice children as young as 1 year old into their restaurant with special meals, toys, playgrounds, and popular character tie-ins. Children grow up eating and enjoy McDonald's, and then they continue into adulthood. They've been criticized by many parent advocate groups for their marketing practices towards children, which are seen as marginally ethical. So that would be a threat, okay? They've been sued multiple times. You guys mentioned that, for having unhealthy food, allegedly with addictive additives contributing to the obesity epidemic in the U.S. In 2004, Michael Spurlock, and you guys mentioned that, filmed the documentary Supersize Me, where he went on an all McDonald's diet for 30 days and wound up getting sclerosis of the liver. The documentary was a direct attack on the quick service restaurant industry as a whole, and they blamed them for America's obesity epidemic, due in part to the documentary, McDonald's no longer pushes the supersize option at the drive-through window. And then another threat would be any contamination of the food, especially maybe E. coli. And then, of course, major competitors would also be a threat. And like I mentioned, you know, the strategy that Taco Bell is using with, you know, showing the people who've been the real Ronald McDonald, and now they eat at Taco Bell. Okay, and if you haven't seen the commercial, how many of you have seen that? Okay, good, so I'm not, okay, all right, good, okay. Okay, so those are the ones that I just covered. Okay, so now what we're going to do is it's your turn. So what's your name?
Vanessa.
Vanessa, if I could have you pass these, and you could, you know, however this works out. Okay, you can, you know, pass them so they, you know, whatever. So, okay, so what I'm passing around now, so we've gone through an explanation of what a SWOT is. You had an opportunity to kind of play with it with McDonald's. Now it's time for you to focus on yourself. So what I'd like you to do is to try to do a SWOT analysis on yourself, okay? So there are some starter questions that have been provided to influence critical thinking, but don't limit your responses to the questions provided. So I want you to provide examples of each of these in the little quadrants that are here. So what do you consider to be your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats? So again, I think if we frame this from the perspective of if you're looking for your ideal job, frame it that way as opposed to what are my strengths as a human being? And you all can see the difference in that, right? So whatever that ideal job is that you are seeing yourself in, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, four, five, whatever the time period might be, if you were applying or thinking of applying for your ideal job, what are your personal strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are your opportunities? And what are your threats? So let's take maybe the next 5 minutes doing that, and then we will see what you guys came up with, and we'll wrap it up for the morning. Thank you. And then you can see on the back, there's a little more room for you to write on. So you may do this on either side, the front or the back, whatever works for you. And if you didn't bring a pen, just keep in mind the next time you come to one of these, bring something to write with, okay? And I've got one pen that's not going to help. Oh, it's not my pen. There's a pen right here that somebody can use. Anybody need one? Okay. And remember that it goes back up there. Okay, and we've got another one. Does anybody else need one? Oh, and it's a couple back here, too. You've got one. You need one? Okay. You need one? Okay. And when you all leave, if you could put the pens back on the back. Anybody else need one? To pass that down over there, please. Anybody else need a pen? Going once, twice. Can I throw it to you without you being offended? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. May I throw it to you and you're not going to think I'm being offensive? Ooh, good catch. Wow, that was good. I guess it also means I'm a good thrower. Okay. Oops, can you pass one over there too? Put it down for you so you can keep writing. Okay, so what I'd like you to do, and you may or may not have had a chance to finish, but why don't you turn, do a pair with the person right next to you and share with them what you came up with. So if you could just visit with the person who's next to you, and you may need to move or to turn and face, and even if you just shared one of the areas, like maybe your strengths, or your opportunities, or your threats. Here you go. You can take one and pass one. Thank you. Okay? And what I'm passing around is something for you to reflect on. So, you know, it doesn't have to end right here. I guess I should have. Yeah, okay, pass those. So it doesn't have to end here. So I'm passing around a little thing for you to reflect on regarding your personal SWOT. One more. Oops. Thank you. Now, did I pay? I didn't give your row any. Okay. Thanks. Why don't you tell me what you came up with?
Still coming up with it. What I would be assessing would be, ideally, I would like to own my own business.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the strengths for that is I'm intelligent, innovative, confident in what I'm doing. There's no problem that I can't solve.
I like that attitude. Very good.
To insert yourself in that. Opportunities, partnerships. I have a good network of connections.
Oh, good.
Just with things that I've done before. Opportunities and the way I run my organization and maybe have that be an innovative type deal, developmental, because the goal would be to have it as business as missions.
Ah.
So doing something along the lines of ideally being able to give an absurd amount of net income to the point where people are going, it can't be possible to give that much of your income away. So I didn't get to threats. But
okay,
I mean,
good. I love it. I love that. Good. And at least now that you've started thinking about this, you're doing it ahead as opposed to hindsight. So now if you know what these things are, you can start working yourself to mitigate these. So very good. Thank you. And what's your name?
I'm Caleb.
Caleb. Okay, nice to meet you. Okay. All right, very good. And you know, in life, there's never enough time, is there? And I know when I got up here, I was thinking, boy, an hour, that's a long time. We'll probably finish early. They'll have the rest of the hour to do something different. Okay, so what did you all think about this process? Was it eye-opening for you? Okay, so what are some of your insights? What are your takeaways? And not necessarily what your strengths or weaknesses. So what did you take from this? What lessons learned? Okay. Yes. Very good. Did you all hear what she said? She shared that What she took from this is to be aware of her weaknesses, and a good time to do that is at the beginning of the program like this, as opposed to after the fact, looking back, thinking, oh, I might have, taken this, if I know I want to own my own business, or if I know I want to go in this direction, if I had to do it again, I might have done something differently. So now you know up front. Anybody else, what other takeaways do you have? Anything else? No? Okay. All right. Well, very good. So continue to be aware of this. Again, I wanted you to reflect on what we've just gone through, and it's not over. You have lots of time. You don't have time, obviously, in here, and you probably didn't have a chance to complete it, but keep it. And you've got the little slips that gives you an opportunity to keep this in the front of your mind so that as you're going through your program, you are aware of your end goal, what it is that you want to accomplish, and then you try to align yourself in a way that can mitigate those things that you're not doing as well as you could. Okay? Any questions or comments for me? So, congratulations. I'm sorry, did somebody say something? No? Okay. So congratulations, you've completed the SWOT analysis workshop. Have a blessed rest of the day and a blessed week. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right.